So this week's episode is going to be about words. Let's talk about words, baby. Let's talk about you and me. Wow, my voice sounds real good. I'm going to talk a little bit about some British slang, a little pronunciation of words, maybe a couple of other things.
Welcome to From Someplace New, the long-term travel podcast where Karen Bernhardt and John Sumple discuss their hows and whys, lows and highs, and lessons learned while living abroad.
Welcome to episode 29 of From Someplace New. I'm John Sumple.
Hey there, I'm Karen Bernhardt.
Yes, you are. Hey. I know you. I know you.
I see you.
I see you over there, sitting across the table.
What you doing over there?
So we're going to talk this week a little bit about some, you know, words that we've heard and phrases that we've heard and pronunciations of phrases that we've heard that are not necessarily familiar. And it always kind of like catches you off guard. After spending so much time in Latin American countries and we were hearing Spanish more than anything, it's not so much about the accent. It's kind of like a Spanish accent, but this is people who speak the same language as we do, English, but their pronunciation of different words and some of the sayings that they've had have kind of been thrown us, and vice versa. There's a couple of things that have happened over the last couple of days where I've said something and someone didn't know what I was talking about.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, it's really charming, honestly, so much of the nuances and the differences. It's fun kind of making note of it and just being in situations where it's like, oh, wow, that was a completely different way of saying that. Yeah, language is fun.
So before we get into that, what was the best thing that happened to you last week?
The best thing was just the other night, and it was seeing a movie in a cinema. Am I stealing your thunder? Because
you
that's
are.
Yours too. Yeah, I knew it would be. But yes, the last time we've seen a movie in a cinema was in January in Santiago, Chile. So we had the great, great treat of seeing a movie, Tenet, Christopher Nolan's Tenet.
Big thumbs up.
Oh my goodness, amazing. But so a socially distanced experience at a fantastic theater right around the corner from the apartment here. And it was awesome.
Yeah. Well, a couple of things about that experience. You talk about differences between the U.S. and, you know, this is not about words, but this is just about differences. So maybe it should be about some differences that we've noticed. But the movie theater experience was, well, first of all, it's a COVID experience. So there really wasn't that many people in the theater. It had just opened this weekend.
Right.
So not a lot of people were going anyway.
And it was the later show.
You know, there was maybe 10 people in the theater, if that many.
Yes, that's
and
it.
Every other row was blocked off. And I think they kind of limited the number of seats that were available too. So in each row. So it was not that crowded, but the sound system of this theater was amazing. So one thing that I had heard about before we had gone to this theater is people have complained about how long the pre-intro is. So it's not just trailers. So in the US, when you show up at a movie theater, they'll be running all these kind of like pre-show time ads and little vignettes and things like that. And then they'll launch into the trailers. Well, here, when it says the movie starts at 8:20, they start with the ads first and then the trailer. So we had about 5 to 10 minutes of ads and then another 10 minutes of trailers.
Right.
For about 20 minute pre-roll before the film actually started.
Which that doesn't bother me. That's never bothered me in the United States, that whole ramp up and, you know, all the, like you said, the teasers, promos, ads, right, different things, plus trailers.
But the quality was so good.
Oh,
they weren't cheesy ads. They were really well done.
Really well done.
Creative.
I have noticed that in general, though, just the few times we've turned on the TV here, the public service type announcements, especially, you know, like the government oriented, you know, things going on around COVID. But also we've seen things around health issues and, you know, Get Moving Scotland and all of these different things. Really, really well done. The messaging is great. Very like emotional undercurrents with things. There were, a couple, I don't know what was going on, a couple of those promos last night, I was getting teary-eyed. Mm-hmm. They were really emotional.
Well, one that I've seen on TV is about donkeys.
Oh, that's right.
And I've seen it two or three. There's two different associations that are trying to raise money for... It's not really save the donkeys. I think that was one of them was save the donkeys, but the whole
what are
they
we
show
saving
you these
them from?
Well, being beasts of burden, where they're being overworked and they're not healthy
on
and
the farms, they're abusing the donkeys.
Well, not just on farm, it's transporting of goods and things like that. But they show, I mean, very hard to watch videos of these shaking and ill and don't want to get into the whole.
Wow,
but,
John.
You know, I've seen it a couple of times now, and it's just kind of like, wow, I think I'm going to donate to Save the Donkeys.
It sounds like a worthwhile cause. It's probably best that I don't see it because I get too, not emotional, but too distraught.
Wrapped up in it.
With things, with animals. That's always difficult, but worthy
causes. So a lot of PSAs. We've noticed
a lot of PSAs. Okay, so anyway, back to the cinema. We're still the best thing to happen to us. Yeah, so Let's keep going.
The sound system was amazing. The movie was amazing. I don't want to say too much about it. You know, it is one of those movies that you will have to see more than once, most likely.
Yes, it is a twisty-turny film. And Christopher Nolan, who we love as a director, but he does not like to do linear narrative storytelling ever. So, yes, in that vein, that's continuing.
Yeah, but it was one of those movies that it was 2 hours and 40 minutes long, and it didn't seem anywhere near that.
No, I didn't get restless for a second.
No, and I didn't really know how long it was until when we got out of the theater. I could not believe that we had been in there for almost 3 hours, and that included the 20 minutes of pre-show. So yeah, it was just about 3 hours when we walked out. It was like, whoa.
Yeah, but no, it was really awesome to have a movie experience. Like I said, we have not been in a cinema. Obviously, it's a big deal for a lot of people because of COVID and theaters being closed down. So, but yes, the last time we had been in January.
Yeah, and
in January.
They take things so step by step safe here. They're very much focused on safety and the health rules and regulations. And as we've mentioned before, everywhere we go adheres to a very strict regimen of rules. So, the same thing in the movie theater. In the bathrooms, certain stalls and toilets were blocked off. You couldn't use them. Sinks were, blocked off.
It's that whole stagger. Everything's staggered to keep, to keep space between people and situations.
So it was really nice for us to go to a theater. And I'm an avid movie goer. I'd much prefer to see a movie in the theater than on a handheld device or even on a TV. So that was a big deal.
You had a full cinema experience.
No, it was great. And again, theaters just opened up here. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, though, for a little COVID update, you read some pretty disturbing news today.
Well, it's concerning. I would say concerning news that First Minister, Nicola Sturgeon, apparently is getting concerned about a rise in cases. And it sounds like this week there may be an announcement. She's basically being very stern and saying if people don't get their act together or that people are becoming more relaxed about things, specifically young people getting together in big groups, things like this. We're hearing this, around the world that this is an issue. I wasn't sure. It wasn't a real in-depth article. It was kind of a quick update. But if it's that there are plans to ease more restrictions, that will now be stopped, or if it's that we're going to go backwards and experience, previous level restrictions. Mm-hmm. So I guess we'll just have to see what's happening with that. But yes, concerning, it sounds like the yellow flag has gone up with this. Regarding Scotland and how they're handling it.
But she targeted a specific group of people.
Right, the younger people.
Yeah.
Yeah, the younger people, but that...
Well, I think the message there is that let's all use our heads. And
bars,
I
don't know.
If we all don't use our heads, then we're going to have to step backwards and everybody suffers.
Right, so maybe she is trying to single them out a little bit, shame them a little bit, and can you, pull yourselves together because it affects everyone. So I don't know, maybe that'll work.
So let's jump into a little bit about what we wanted to talk about today. We've heard different phrases, different words, things that we've experienced since we've been here that are very interesting. One thing that we and this isn't exactly a word thing, but throughout South America and now over here, everybody uses an electric kettle. And I had never seen an electric kettle before we got to South America. Not so much in Mexico, but once we got into Ecuador, Peru, Chile, everybody.
And absolutely Argentina. And I would say a lot of that is because of the mate. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they're, you know, boiling water constantly, filling their termos for the mate. But yeah, it's a pretty universal
and everybody,
kitchen appliance here.
When people talk about it, we've heard people talk about it. It's like, really don't understand why, you know, people in the U.S. don't use an electric kettle. And they don't even call it electric kettle. They just say kettle.
The kettle, yeah.
Yeah, they're like, boil water on the stovetop? Why would you do that?
Or even worse, more horrifying, is boiling it in the microwave.
Right.
They think that's absurd.
Right.
Why would you do that?
And these electric kettles, if you've never used one, they fire up and boil the water
so fast,
within a minute.
They're amazing.
Yeah, they are amazing. It's an appliance that I think everybody should own because it's very, very efficient and you can heat things up very quickly.
Yeah, we're big fans.
Big, big fans.
We're coffee and tea drinkers. And I would say we're firing up that kettle, you know, 3-4 times a day.
Yeah.
No, yeah. Thumbs up on the kettle. We get it. Britain, the kettles are a good thing.
One of the things I did want to mention, too, is that we were going to do a whole episode on the whole idea of like, we'd like to be spontaneous and we'd like to, you know, don't like to plan too far ahead.
And then we're like,
yeah, we're not going to do that this weekend. We'll just kind of wing it and we'll just take it as it goes. So the plan was to rent a car, but we didn't make plans because
the plans were to rent a car, but we didn't make plans. The intention was.
And it was going to be a last minute thing. It's like, because I much prefer that let's not set up the whole weekend type of thing. Because
yeah,
we've had many great, happy adventures. And when we've done that, and the spontaneity and serendipitous moments that we've had as a result of not being planned out has been pretty awesome.
Worked in our favor, we would say.
Yeah. So we didn't wind up doing anything on Saturday, big plans. We're like, oh, we'll just do it tomorrow. We took Saturday as more of an easy
day. As far as getting out of town, big plans being, yes, not staying.
Rent a car, take a train.
Right.
So we talked about renting take a train. We're like, no, we'll rent a car. It'll be cool. So I was looking at renting a car at late on Saturday night. And I'm like, all these available options. I'm like, oh, that's cool. So I was looking Saturday night to rent on Sunday morning. So we said, okay, we'll just, you know, we'll get up and we'll go to the car rental place because there's so many options. And it was showing that there was availability. We walked by one that said that they were open on Sunday. So we're like, we'll just pop by there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So the next day, when it comes time to do it, we just hop on over, walk to two different places, and they're closed. And we're like, wait a second, why did it say that I could rent it online, but yet I couldn't get the car?
And we still don't really know the answer to this, but the situation was because of it, no car rental.
Yeah. So yeah, we didn't have any of those big plans come through.
Yeah. And then we talked about, well, do we still maybe want to take a train somewhere?
So we looked at that for a little bit.
Do we want to still get out? And it just felt like, you know what?
We had a bag packed just in case we spent the night.
Well, yeah. I mean, I packed up my stuff. I was ready for potentially staying two nights somewhere. Well, that's the other thing, though. I hadn't made any reservations.
No, which was good that we didn't.
Oh, my goodness. I don't know. But yeah, so it was definitely a situation where, like, yeah, sometimes planning is a good idea. It can.
But we did wind up today going to Roslyn Chapel.
Yes, today was great.
And almost everything that you're doing that is usually, you know, you just show up and pay and go through, you have to do it all online.
Yeah, so we are aware of that and we're being smart about that.
And they're limiting the number of people, and which was really cool because we were told today that they have like 1,500 people a day go through Roslyn during the summer. And they were only allowing four different groupings of 30 people each time throughout the whole day.
Yeah, I have to tell you, so this does make me think of this, that there are some things that are happening as a result of COVID protocol because of COVID that I am not minding one bit. And that is the smaller crowds and the smaller settings with things. So, for example, the movie, I love the fact that everyone, I mean, they could have gotten more people, of course, in that theater. But even if it had been at bigger capacity, it's staggered. It's every other row. So that's awesome for me because I can't stand having people, you know, over my shoulder and chomping on their popcorn and talking in my ear.
That's a whole
so all
whole
good
long
with that.
Discussion.
Right. All good with that. But then, yeah, so here's a major tourist attraction, Roslyn Chapel. And it's a small, intimate group, you know, that is in that church getting
more personable.
These
personable experience with the guy.
Yeah, the guy. Why I think getting I can't think of the when she was doing Dosing. Her. It's not her tour. It wasn't really a tour. She was giving a little
overview,
presentation.
Yeah,
I don't know why. I can't find my words right now. It is a little bit
and
late.
She even said that she thought it was a good thing too, because for you guys, she said it's less crowded, so you get to, you know, feel it a little bit differently. You're not being shuffled through. And she said it's much better for us too, because we don't have to use microphones. It's a lot more intimate. We can answer more questions.
As well.
And she said it's been great for us.
Yeah, she basically alluded that it's almost obnoxious, the crowds, the size of the crowds and what they have to manage with.
I guess that's a double-edged sword, because they blame and they appreciate Dan Brown, you know, the writer of Da Vinci Code.
Well, she kind of got into that.
Yeah. Well, she said they very much appreciate it because more people come now, which means they raise more money to keep it restored and at the best that it can be. But at the same time, they have bigger crowds.
So much of it is just because of that novel. And
because of that.
Yeah, the tie-in and
Well, it's like the fanatics of the book. Anybody who's familiar with the book or the movie, she said, you know, there were some shots of the interior that they used. They were actually here and they did that. Said, but anything that was below ground, that was all shot in a studio because those floors don't exist here. Mm-hmm. So she said people are adamant when they come here to see certain things that they saw in the movie. And she goes, they don't exist here.
Right. She goes, you know how this works, right? Hollywood, that it's, you know, a lot of it is built in a, you know, sound stage, and it's not it's a representation of something that does exist, but it's, you know, modified.
And at the time when they shot the film, the actual Roslyn Chapel had a canopy over it. Because they were doing restoration work. And she said that it was going to take 20 years for them to do the restoration work. But because of the influx of dollars that came as a result of the book and the movie, it only took 8 years for them to complete it because they were able to get the funds. But she said at the time they had that canopy over it and they had to build a model of the chapel for the exterior shots in the film because it couldn't make the canopy go away. So a little movie insight. So we're like way off the tangent a little bit because we've done that a little bit.
In the next
but there was
here,
thing
but...
that specifically to her. I don't enjoy big, large tour group things. I like to enjoy something specific, like Roslyn Chapel by myself. So I always like wait until
by yourself.
No, I wait till people leave and there's less people in there. It's less crowded, and you just kind of sit there in that moment by yourself.
Be reflective and enjoy it in a different way.
And the docent was there, and I asked her a question. I said, "Does it ever get old?" Kind of looking up at the ceiling.
So here we're going to do the language thing like we intended.
Nice little segue.
Yeah, so nice.
So I said, does it ever get old sitting in here and kind of looking up? And she's like, excuse me? And I said, no. I said, does it ever get old? And she's like, I don't know what you mean.
Which is
like,
interesting what? That she just outright said
she outright
that.
Said
that
it. I don't know what you mean.
Right.
And so I had to explain to her. I said, well, does it ever get old? You know, coming in here.
Did you phrase it in a way?
I said, coming in here every day and seeing the same thing. Do you find new things? She's like, oh, yeah. And she knew what I meant after I kind of explained it. But a phrase that I think is just so common, she didn't know what I was talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's been a few other examples of stuff like that.
Sure.
The primary one being that I would say at least a half dozen times when we've been at restaurants, when the server comes up and asks if we want anything else.
After when we're wrapping up.
When we're all done and we're like, no, we're all set.
All set.
We're all set. And then they walk away and we're kind of like, I guess the check's not coming. So we realized after like the 10th time of doing that is when we say we're all set in the States, they usually bring the check because they think they realize that you're done.
What is that though? Because I guess it is, it kind of is just an indication that, well, obviously the next step then is to bring the check.
Right.
So without us actually having to ask for the check.
Right.
Yeah.
So there's a tendency in the United States to have customers move through restaurants quickly. Latin America, and so far here, not the case at all. If you want to spend a couple of hours. You don't get pressure from anybody.
Which I love, by the way. I think that's so nice.
Nobody comes up to you and asks, you know, kind of keeps bugging you, do you need anything else? You know, you get the impression, and there's not a lot of that checking in on you either, which you see a lot of in the United States as well.
I mean, they'll look over in that, and I feel like if you indicate that you need help or want something, that they're responsive, but they're not hovering. They're not going to.
And all you have to do is raise your hand and kind of make the little pen motion in the air, writing in the air.
Although right now there's no writing.
None. Everything's contactless. Yeah,
it's so contactless.
Even the buses. We took the buses today. You can use your credit card on the bus with the contactless.
So that's what I was saying before, how some of the things that are happening as a result of COVID, I'm actually kind of liking. And I mentioned that today when we were taking the bus. I'm like, how easy was that we have like our, you know, Apple Pay, I do on my phone, and you just like scan your
wave your not wave your scan, phone over you the just scanner.
Wave yeah. your phone, yeah. Wave Boom. Your phone over the device.
You're on your way.
On you go.
Yeah.
But they're definitely very serious about contactless.
So we're very much aware now, back to the exchanging. Food thing, saying that, you know, we're not going to say we're all set. We're going to say we're done. Can we have the bill?
Yeah. We just had an awareness with each other. We're like, yeah, we can't do that. We have to just be very specific about it. We're all set. We'd like the check now, or we're all set and we're ready for the check now. That's it. Easy enough.
Yeah. Yeah. And another word, let's get into some more words. Cheers. Cheers
Love
is kind of
that.
Like the catch-all word for everything. It means cheers. Excuse me. It means thank you. It means have a good day. It means how are you?
It's kind of their social protocol. Yeah. We talked about that, you know, in Latin American countries, how that's such a big deal. But cheers is a very accepted exchange here. And it's just so lovely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the first time I experienced it when I went to the grocery store, the second day that we were here, and somebody wanted to get by me, and he just said, cheers, type of thing, and, you know, move by me. But
it's versatile, like you said, that's a versatile use right there.
Yeah, so that was something that, you know, we've heard more and more, you know, cheers is being used.
And I find myself using it as well. Yeah, Why not? It's very, great.
Very,
cheers.
Very easy. Mm-hmm. A couple other things. So when we go to order coffee and we ask for almond milk, they don't pronounce it as almond milk. They say almond.
Almond.
So it stands out like, it's kind of like almond, which is kind of weird, because the other thing that they talk about, we say Amazon and they say Amazon.
Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So they don't say Amazon. So I think when they hear us say it, they're kind of like, oh, that's the American Amazon.
Well, what I realize in general is that I feel like the American, and it's an accent for us as well, is so monotonic and flat. Like everything just is like leveled out flat. And the Scottish pronunciation is it's so lyrical and lilty and just quirky and awesome. Sorry, I just feel like it's so much more interesting. Like take any phrase, a paragraph, and have an American read it and a Scot read it. Ugh, the Scottish accent's fantastic.
So, you know, like, for example, today when we were at the Flatterstone Inn, after we went to Roslyn Chapel, we went into this old inn that I had been to 37 years ago and wanted to check it out and show Karen it, and very local people there. There wasn't any tourists there. It was more of a local place. And as I was walking to the restroom and the person was walking out, I said, oh, excuse me. And he said, you know, after you. And I'm like, oh, thank you. And he said, was that an American accent I detect? Not quite in that, but I was like, yes, it was. It's an American accent, which we don't think of Americans having accents, because it just sounds so boring compared to anything else you hear.
or for them to be kind of delighted and like, an American accent, yeah. Which I had a situation too when I was waiting for you outside the apartment building. Just a local dude kind of came up as we started to chat a little bit. He was same thing. He was like, oh, you're from America.
Obviously, the very thick brogues too. There was a person at the restaurant today. You couldn't understand anything.
Sitting there and eating and kind of just overhearing stuff, I'm like, you know what? I don't know a word he's saying. That older gentleman, I have no idea what he's saying. You're like, oh, I'm good. I think you even said you're like, well, they're talking about sports. I know right. That's happening. I said, yeah, I got nothing.
So we have almond, Amazon, mm-hmm. Amazon.
Yes.
And parcel. So, you know, it's a parcel, not a package.
Right. So, and we've been getting a lot of parcels mentioned before because of Amazon
parcels.
So, yes, but your parcel is here.
And we think that the person who lived next door to us is kind of like, what are they running out of that apartment? What's going on there?
Well, apparently a tech company and textiles.
Well, it's what happens when you're away from that for a couple of years, that you need the goods.
Oh, goodness with the goods.
So another word really liked is the stove.
Oh, it's a hob. It's so great. It's a hob.
Yeah.
And that's not just a casual thing. That's the understood term for a stovetop. Because it's on all, you know, your directions, your cooking instructions on packages and that. You have the hob, the right. microwave, whatever else. But yes.
Yeah, you love that. You've mentioned that a half a dozen times since we've been here. You're like, oh, the hob.
Right. Like you're going to need to cook it on the hob. And what are the instructions for the hob?
Right.
So, yeah.
So another thing is that in the States, we call it takeout.
Mm-hmm.
And here they call it takeaway.
You take it away.
Yeah, it's takeaway. Is this for takeaway? Concepts, are you dining in or are you taking away?
Right. Or are you taking off?
Are you leaving? And another, you know, phrase, a common phrase that you see this more than anything is, and you made a comment about this the other day, is that, well, that's a lot of words. Well, two, when one will do. So exit for us, exit. That's the exit. It's the way out. Here. So you have signage that says way out, not exit. So there's no exit signs. There's way out signs.
Well, with that, I didn't even pick up on it. And when you mentioned it the other day, I was like, is it just the terminology or is that actually what they're using on signage? And you're like, no, that's the signage. It says way out. So then now I see it everywhere. But yeah.
And the last word that we had on here was and I'm sure we're going to hear more. So we'll probably throw in a word of the day or phrase of the week or whatever.
Yeah. Hear. In addition to the best thing that happened to us, right. The new word, phrase,
the word of the day,
language difference of the week.
Word of the day. This is the word of the day. That's going to be the new theme song for word of the day.
That's going to be awesome. People are going to love that.
Yeah. They're going to be frightened.
That's great.
Tune out. After when that comes
hey,
out.
Hey, John, don't quit your J job.
Your J job?
John, JJ. Hey,
so
John.
So the last one is faff, you know, and I would put this under
slangish, slang territory, right?
But I've heard it several times and every single time I hear it, it kind of stops me in the same way probably that the woman when she's, you know, I was, you know, talking to her earlier today about does this ever get old? And she's kind of like, what? What is that? So you can hear faff. It's kind of like
how is that spelled? What is that now?
F-A-F-F.
F-A-F-F.
Yeah, faff.
Faff.
And that's like spinning your wheels, a waste of time type of thing. Mm-hmm. But you hear, I've heard it frequently.
Yeah, that's a good one.
There's a lot of slang words that we're probably not even aware.
Oh, there's so many probably going right over. Well, me especially, because for whatever reason, I have such a hard time tuning into these nuances and understanding what's being said. But yeah, it probably goes right over my head. I'm sure there's a lot.
So yeah, those are some of the observations and idiosyncrasies.
Language observations.
Yeah, just even not language and also kind of like the whole kettle thing.
That's kind of everything. Cool.
Everything, all the differences. And oh yeah, driving on the opposite side of the road. We're still getting used to that. We're here 5-6 weeks and we're still looking the wrong way.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, if I don't get hit by a car, that'll be a minor.
And we will be renting a car soon, hopefully this weekend, and it will be an automatic, even though those are hard to come by. The first time driving on the other side of the street for me is going to be not with a stick.
We're intending to rent a car.
If we don't plan for it, we might not.
We will make no plans. Hopefully the car will just land, you know, in our laps and we'll just take off. And that's weird. The car will land in our laps.
Yeah, just maybe.
You know, or they'll just arrive at the apartment building and we'll be ready to go. Yeah.
So give us an escort out of the city.
It's going to be great. That's how they do. That's how they rent cars here, apparently. Right.
So yeah, more wordplay to come as we experience certain phrases and pronunciations and cultural things. We'll jot those down and make sure that we can bring those up because it's kind of fun.
Let's do that.
We've really enjoyed it. And part of it is because it is speaking a language that we're familiar with, but with a very different accent.
An amazing Scottish twist.
Yeah.
It's cool. Really cool.
It's fun. We're really enjoying
it. It's fun. Plus it's fun.
So if you liked what you heard, please feel free to subscribe to our channel, share it with friends and family. We always enjoy getting a larger audience, and we do appreciate those who have commented. And if you haven't, feel free to leave a comment. It helps definitely get other people to tune in and spread the word. So yeah, so that's this week's episode in a nutshell. So it wasn't too much of a faff.
Yeah, so cheers.